When the Portuguese explorer Ferdinand Magellan and his crew landed on what is now the island of Guam on March 6, 1521, they were most impressed by the vast number of swift outrigger canoes that raced out from the shoreline to meet them. The boats seemed to fly across the water, leading Magellan to immediately name the place Islas de las Velas Latinas, Islands of the Latine Sails. The welcoming inhabitants seemed friendly enough. Even better, they brought with them fresh fruit and vegetables for trade. After a long, stormy, and deadly voyage, that was exactly what the explorer and the crew members of his three remaining vessels needed. Many of them suffered from scurvy and malnutrition. But Magellan soon decided to make his stop at this place a brief one. Crewmen reported the locals had helped themselves to whatever they wanted from the ships. Even a small boat had been swiped from the deck of the flagship. The native Chamorro people simply assumed this was how the trade process was supposed to work. Magellan disagreed. He dispatched a party ashore to recover whatever they could. Then they sailed on. Magellan did not even take time to claim the island for Spain, on whose behalf he had launched this mission, or to attempt to force the natives to convert to Christianity, as was his usual practice. That was a bit of good luck for the Chamorros. Magellan typically accomplished both goals by violent means if the indigenous peoples objected even the slightest. As they hastily left the island behind and sailed westward, his men did rename the place Islas de los Ladrones, Islands of the Thieves. Magellan's primary mission was to prove a western sea route existed from Spain to the Molucca Islands, the so-called Spice Islands. He also was bound to prove that he could circumnavigate the globe as part of the mission, by finding the course around Cabo de Hornos, Cape Horn, the southern point of what is now the South American continent. They were well on their way to demonstrating a navigational feat that many in Europe considered suicidal. Yet by this point in the ambitious voyage, some of Magellan's crew members had grown weary and were on the brink of mutiny. Some already had left, turning back and taking two ships with them. And it would be only 6 weeks after his brief visit to the Islands of the Thieves that Magellan would die in a battle in what is now the Philippines. That would come while he was attempting to coerce a group there to accept allegiance to Spain and the Christian God. The natives there were decidedly and violently unwilling to do either. Magellan's demise convinced more members of his crew it was time to quit the expedition. They took two more ships with them. Eventually, a few remaining sailors and a single ship of the original five would reach the Spice Islands, and then, from there, complete the voyage around the world, returning to Spain. Although Magellan would be credited with circumnavigating the globe, he was in reality denied the opportunity to successfully complete the voyage. The remote island of Guam would be mostly overlooked for a good part of the next half century. Then it was another explorer, one less well known, who came along and claimed it and her sister islands for Spain in 1565. As one of the larger spots of land in the region, and despite the numerous dangerous reefs and inaccessible cliffs, General Miguel López de Legazpi recognized the value of the place as a stopover for the galleons that were by then plying the trade routes, some of which had been established by Magellan and his crew, from the Philippines to western Mexico. Defensive fortifications, some of which are still visible today, were constructed on Guam by Legazpi and his men, but not before skirmishes with the Chamorros, who were still not sure about these white-skinned interlopers and their threats to the island's traditions, especially when the Spanish sailors burned some native huts to show their intent to rule. It would be only 3 years later when the first Catholic church was built on Guam.